First, I want to thank everyone for coming this evening, braving the cold, to commemorate the first yahrzeit of my father, of Rafael Dov and of Yosef Yecheskel Zatzal. Special thank you to friends and family who came from outside the immediate neighborhood, and to Rav Twersky, Shlita as well, for not just coming from outside the neighborhood, but from agreeing to share Divrei Torah with us. And finally, a special thank you to Uri Schneider for, number one, being the one who proposed the idea a number of weeks ago, and for being so supportive and being so behind it ever since. Although perhaps many of you in the room did not have the opportunity to meet my father, to know my father, but I thought nonetheless it would be a good opportunity this evening to reflect for a few moments on that which I think, or on some of that which I think, characterized who he was, and perhaps could serve to allow us to glean some misoris in our own lives as well. And although it is perhaps too difficult, maybe impossible, for a son to adequately describe a father, I thought therefore I would share with you just a few thoughts based on that which he often spoke about, which I therefore assumed was that which he really stood for and really meant that much, very much to him. And my father, as many of you know, was a Rav in Rabbanus for 33 years or so. And to him, Rabbanus was not just a parnasa, wasn't just a career, wasn't just a way to make ends meet, but it was something that he viewed as a tafkid, something that he viewed as a spiritual mission, a spiritual goal in life, which he very much cherished and strove to live up to. And he often would quote to me the words of the Pasuk in Parshas Pinchas, where when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to select Yehoshua ben Nun to succeed him as leader, Pasuk describes Yehoshua as Ish Asher Ruach Bo, as a man who possessed a ruach. And Rashi, there are comments quoting from Chazal. What does that mean? Rashi says what that means is sheyuchal lahaloch keneged rucho shel kol echad ve'echad. Someone who is able to walk in accordance with or to the tune of each and every individual on their own level. And my father, on occasion when speaking to me about Rabbanus, would often stress this point, which he felt to be so critical, that it's so important to be someone who is able to be holich keneged rucho shel kol echad ve'echad. In so many ways, I saw that very often, the way he interacted with so many others. On the one hand, he would be able to speak in learning with the members of his shul who are learning in Kollel, with the rabbanim in town when he sat on a din Torah with them on the Beis Din of Toronto. He would be able to converse freely in Yiddish with the older Holocaust survivors, the European Jews who lived in Toronto and who davened in the shul. And on the other end of the spectrum, he was equally at home dealing with modern Orthodox teenagers who he taught in yeshiva, who understood the language of sports better than anything else. And so often I would hear from my friends who attended that yeshiva where he taught, wow, you should have seen what happened today. Your father made somebody or was able to convince somebody to put on tzitzis every day for the next 2 months because he beat him one-on-one in basketball. And he would challenge select students in his yeshiva and his shir who he felt it would appeal to, play you one-on-one, close the doors to the gym, no one else allowed in, just you and I. And that's the deal. I win, it's tzitzis every day for 2 months. You win, case of Pepsi, case of Coke, whatever the case might be. And this yuchal aloch keneged rucho shel kol echad ve'echad extended even to those who were not even Jewish in the community. A number of members of the shul told me after the shiva that when they frequented the local barbershop, so Peter, the local Italian barber, was telling every one of them how much he misses Rabbi Marcus, because when my father would visit Peter, it wouldn't just be for business only, it would be to talk to him how things are in his life, how he's doing. He called Peter out of the blue when he knew that he was having eye surgery, because the last time he was there, Peter had mentioned to him, by the way, I'll be out for a couple of weeks. This ability to be holeth kineged rucho shel kol achad ve'echad, to talk on each and every person's level, no matter who that person is, and touch every person in a different way, was certainly what he felt was critical when it came to Rabbanus, when it came to being isha shel ruach bo. Second, and perhaps related, thought, which I know meant a lot to my father because I would hear it from him often, was a story that my grandfather, Varon Soloveitchik, would mention often as well. The story is told with some variation by different people and different accounts, but the basic story is the same. My grandfather would relate how an individual in pre-war Europe once asked a number of Gedolei Torah what the purpose of a Rav is. And according to one version of the story, he went to the Aruch HaShulchan, Rabbi Chaim Michael Epstein, he said, what is the purpose of a Rav? And the Aruch HaShulchan, true to form, told him, purpose of a Rav is to paskin shilas for the community. That was his hallmark. He was a postek, one of the postek ador. That's what he viewed to be critical in the role of a Rav. Rav Itzla Petterberg, one of the famous Bali Musr of the generation, told this individual, the purpose of a Rav is to give Musr in his drashos, to give Musr to the tzibur. And Rav Chaim Brisco, when asked what the purpose of a Rav is, responded, the purpose of a Rav is to perform chesed with those in his tzibur, to be an ish chesed. And my father would quote this often, and I think that it highlighted as well something that he very much lived in his life. The Navi in Micha tells us that Ma'ashem Doresh Mimcha, what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu ask of us? To perform justice and to love kindness, to love chesed. The Chafetz Chaim notes that it's not enough to be osa chesed, it's critical to be an ohev chesed. One who loves chesed so much so that one pursues chesed, one looks for chesed opportunities when they might otherwise be missed or overlooked. My father, in many ways, was that Oev Chesed who would always not just perform Chesed, but would look and seek out and pursue Chesed opportunities that otherwise would be neglected because people wouldn't even take notice of them. And just a few examples, there was one individual in the neighborhood, an Israeli immigrant to Toronto, who never attended shul, perhaps was not that religious, was living all alone, he was a bachelor, never married, didn't get along with his only sibling in the city, and this individual became a household name in our home, because every Friday, Shabbos preparations meant cooking, cleaning, bathing, getting ready for Shabbos, and visiting Mr. So-and-so with a number of the children in tow to bring some food for Shabbos, a Dvar Torah for the Shabbos, to share with him a little Shabbos cheer before Shabbos began. Often it was the Almanos in the shul. When I was a child, it was always Shabbos afternoon after davening. We stopped off at an Almanos house every week. When I grew up, older, moved out of the house, my brothers were brought into the routine. It was another almana who lived in the neighborhood, who was always visited once a week with a child in tow, a young one usually, to bring a smile to the face of the almana. And to quote somebody in the shul, it was that my father made everyone feel like they were worth $1 million, no matter who the person was. Even if it wasn't someone who was a widow, wasn't someone who was, you know, less fortunate in many ways than others, but every individual was made to feel special. There was a young boy in the shul who has Down syndrome, and of course everyone was nice to him in the shul. My father went out of his way every Shabbos to bring him up to the bima, put him in his own chair, let him act like he was the rabbi, make him feel like he was worth $1 million. Another young man in the shul who was a teenager a number of years ago related to me how when he was in high school, he used to stop off in Minyan on the way back from yeshiva. He was so amazed that once he was running late, coming off the bus, getting to shul in the afternoon after school, and he found that the Minyan was waiting for him. Because my father knew this boy comes every day to Minyan. He held the whole Minyan for this one boy to come from high school to the Minyan would start. He wouldn't feel like he missed it. He made this one little boy feel like he was worth $1 million. I recall as a child, on one occasion, on Shabbos at lunch, my father shared with us in the home a trivia question, a Dvar Torah challenge, which he posed, a question followed by an answer, which we all very much enjoyed. And that evening in shul, after mincha, people were crowding on my father to say good Shabbos, and a member of the shul came over, "Rabbi, I've got a great question for you," a challenging glint in his eye. He poses this very same question to my father, and I, a little child, was thinking, oh, good, my father knows that one. Can't get him on that one. And my father just paused and said, "Great question. Wow, That's really great. Stump me. And this fellow obviously was enjoying the moment, presented the answer with relish. And as a kid, I was, why'd he do that? He knew that answer. And of course, later I realized that this was all part of making everyone feel like they're $1 million. Doing chesed because you're looking to do chesed to find the opportunities where otherwise they might be missed. My father very often, when speaking about Rabbanus, would tell me that he felt that the role of a Rav is to make sure that he becomes a member of every family in the shul. And in a sense, that is what really every Yehudi, every Jew has to aspire toward. We know that every Jew, the Medrash Rabba tells us, is called Yehudi in reference to Shevet, or to the son of Leah, to Yehuda. And perhaps one of the reasons why every Jew is called a Yehudi after Yehuda is because Yehuda, the Medrash tells us, was an individual who was a Ravta L'Re'echa. He took a personal responsibility for every other Jew. In the context of the Medrash, it was Binyamin. But a Yehudi is someone who feels an arvus, who feels responsibility, a Ravta L'Re'echa, feeling responsible for each and every other Jew. Sfasemes tells us that true arvus, he writes, is only when you feel there's a shaychus be'etzem nafsho. Kol Yisrael Oevim Zeh Bazeh, every Jew feels a deeper connection to each and every other Jew. And the words of Rav Moshe Cordovero in Talmud Devorah, Kacha Adamim Chaveiro, each and every Jew with his friend, Kol Yisrael Hem She'er Basar Eluim Elu. What is it that creates this arvus? It's the fact that we recognize that we are She'er Basar. It's the fact that we recognize that we are all members of everyone else's family. It's not their family and my family. I'm a part of their family, you're a part of my family. Only when we are Kol Yisrael She'er Basar Eluim Elu, and every individual feels that he is a member of everyone else's family, because we have this deeper connection, this Shaychus Be'etzem Nafsho, between each other, only then we are capable of rising to that level of Arvus, of Arevus, of being an Oyev Chesed in the sense of pursuing those opportunities of Chesed, looking for the opportunities of Chesed for each other that might otherwise go unnoticed. And perhaps L'zeicher Nishmaso L'ilui Nishmaso, on the first Yahrzeit, Yud Aleph Kislev, of my father's Patira, perhaps we could just think once over the coming 24 hours of an opportunity to be She'er Basar Eluim Elu, of an opportunity to be an Oyev Chesed, to look for an opportunity of Chesed that I sense because I feel that sensitivity that we are one family with each other, and to search and pursue that opportunity of chesed that will certainly serve as a fitting zechus for his neshama. My father very often, when he had the opportunity to host a guest shir in the shul, would anticipate inviting Rav Twersky from New York to come to Toronto to shir Divrei Torah with his kehila. Very much valued his friendship with him, and of course held Rav Twersky in very high esteem. I thought it was therefore fitting to ask Rav Twersky this evening to share some Divrei Torah with us tonight as well. Le'ilui Nishmaso.
It's doubly meaningful for me to be here this evening with you. First of all, I cherish the memory of Rav Rafal Marcus, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and Lahavdil Ben Achayim Ben Achayim, I cherish the friendship of Rav Shmuel Marcus, and either one of those considerations would have more than sufficed, and certainly the combination thereof. Chazal tell us in the Gemara in Beitza, which is reproduced in the first of the sources here, that Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Moshe, Matana Tova Yesh Li Bebeis Gnazai V'Shabbos Shema. I have a special present in my storehouse, in my treasury, Shabbos, and I'd like to bestow it on Klal Yisrael. The Torah itself is clearly a matana tova with all its 613 mitzvahs, and yet apparently there's something about Shabbos which stands out. Something about Shabbos which, within the totality of Torah and mitzvahs, which stands out. Shabbos is a matana tova. I'm hoping that by briefly reviewing two very interesting halachos of Shabbos, that perhaps we can gain some insight into why Shabbos stands out as a matana tova. The Baal HaTurim, this is the one source that you don't have in front of you here, comments on the opening word of the Chamishu Chumshei Torah, Bereishis Bara Elokim. The background to the comment of the Baal HaTurim is that we have a tradition that Torah, as we have it, is only one level of meaning of Torah. And not only that, but even the very arrangement of the letters of the Chumash, that this is just one arrangement, and Torah is also given to those who have access to these higher levels of Torah to be understood with different arrangements of the letters as well. Thus, against this background of the Vilna Gaon comments on the Gemara in Bava Basra, the Gemara in Bava Basra discusses who wrote the last 8 psukim in Chumash. On the one hand, the psukim record the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. So how can Moshe Rabbeinu sit there and write Vayomos Shom Moshe Ever Hashem? On the other hand, is it conceivable that part of Chumash wasn't written by Moshe Rabbeinu? So there are different opinions, different proposed solutions to this conundrum. So one opinion says that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Bedema. The simple pshat in Bedema, it means with tears. That in fact Moshe Rabbeinu recorded his own death by Yom HaShem Moshe Ever Hashem. The Vilna Gaon says that Bedema, I don't know if he means to preclude this explanation, but he certainly supplements it by saying that we know that when Truma and regular produce become mixed, so that's referred to as Meduma. It's referred to that mixture, is referred to as being Meduma. And Truma is middama'as. When Truma mixes in with something, and if the proportions are such, then it gives the whole thing the status of Truma. So Meduma means something that's mixed. So the Vilna Gaon says that what this view in the Gemara, the way it's solving this problem is, by suggesting that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it. But how can Moshe Rabbeinu write Vayom Hashem Moshe Ever Hashem when he's still alive? See, the letters were rearranged. So there is such a tradition, there is such a level of interpretation. So with that background, the Baal HaTurim comments that if you rearrange the letters of the word Bereishis, it spells out the two words Yirei Shabbos. That the opening word in Chumash spells out the two words Yirei Shabbos. So the Baal HaTurim here is introducing us, and according to the Baal HaTurim, he's letting us realize that the Torah, in the very first word, so obviously this is a very profound and central message here, there's a notion of having awe of Shabbos, a sense of fear and awe of Shabbos. This underlies very concretely halacha as well. You take a look in source number 2, there is a din in general that if one purchases produce in Eretz Yisrael from someone who doesn't have the status of a chaver, someone who isn't reputed to be especially meticulous and scrupulous about setting aside not only truma but tithing as well, maisros as well, so then that produce is referred to as demai, and there is an obligation to set aside to set aside the true Masmeiser, without going into the details, in theory, the Maisras, in theory, in practice, basically the true Masmeiser. Now, Midrabanan, we're prohibited from setting aside Trumas and Maisras and Shabbos. That's also Midrabanan to do. So what happens if a person purchased produce from someone who again isn't reputed to be scrupulous in tithing, and one therefore has an obligation to really be mafresh before consuming, but it's Shabbos and one forgot to do so before Shabbos? So that's the subject matter of the Mishnah in source number 2. So the Mishnah says that halokeach peros mimisha enu neman ala maisos v'shachach la'asvan. He purchased produce from someone, again, who doesn't have the necessary reputation with regard to tithing, and he forgot to tithe before Shabbos, shalom b'Shabbos. Even though all week long, you can't simply ask him and take his word for it, because he doesn't have the credibility, but on Shabbos, you can ask him. So on Shabbos, all of a sudden, there's a different standard. Even though, again, he doesn't have the credibility that you could ask him all week long, but on Shabbos you can ask him. Why is that? So in source number 3, the Talmud Yerushalmi speaks to this issue. There are actually two suggestions. The second of the two, which is the one the Rambam codifies, Lahalacha, if you take a look towards the end of the line in source number 3, Rav Bibi B'Shem Rabbi Chanina, Emas Shabbos Alav. Who Amma Emes? That this Amoretz, who isn't especially scrupulous, isn't especially pious when it comes to tithing, but he senses the Ema of Shabbos, that awe of Shabbos, which the Val HaTurim introduced us to, Yirei Shabbos. So this Amoretz, again, who's neglectful when it comes to tithing, but on Shabbos, and what's more, it's compounded all week long, that we think that he may not necessarily be entirely forthcoming about the fact that he didn't tithe, but on Shabbos, he tells the truth. Why? Because of Emes Shabbos. He's not going to say something on Shabbos which isn't true. And because of that, we can rely on what he tells us on Shabbos, even though we couldn't rely on his word all week long. So we have this again, concrete expression of this notion of Emes Shabbos. And the Rambam codifies this halacha in source number 4. Halokeach peros mimisha enu neman ala maisos v'shachach la'asran, v'nichnus ha-Shabbos ha-yom tov, She'eino yochol la'aser, hereza sho'olo. It's Shabbos, it's Yom Tov, at this point I can't tithe. So I simply ask him, the same person who has no credibility at any other point, but on Shabbos or Yom Tov I can ask him, v'im amalo me'usarin hein ochel al piv b'Shabbos. V'cheinim amalo echad she'eino ne'eman me'usarin hein ochel al piv b'osa Shabbos. So again, even though the source of my information is someone who doesn't have credibility otherwise, I can take his word for it on Shabbos. Why? The Rambam says in the last line, "Mipnei she'emas Shabbos al amei ha'aretz." People feel, even amei ha'aretz, we're not talking about necessarily the most spiritually inclined of people. They feel the sense of Emes Shabbos, this awe of Shabbos. Okay. What is it that generates the sense of awe of Shabbos? Why is there awe associated with Shabbos? So let's just note that question and leave it to the side for the moment. And let's review another halacha in Hilchos Shabbos. If you take a look in source number 5. V'chibadito me'asos du'achecha. So v'chibadito, one should accord the Shabbos respect. How? May, the mem here means by refraining from. Asos du'achecha, from going about one's regular, routine, mundane ways. So now the Gemara infers halachos from each of these words, each of these phrases. V'chibadito, that one should accord Shabbos respect. How does that manifest itself? Shelo yehem malbushcha shel Shabbos kemalbushcha shel chol. That one's Shabbos attire should be different than one's weekday attire. How do we associate that with the word v'chibadito? V'chihadu Rabbi Yochanan kari l'manei mechabduse. Rabbi Yochanan used to refer to clothing as mechabduse. It's that which accords a person dignity, right? A person, if you don't know a person, so what sort of determines whether or not the person projects a dignified appearance is clothing. V'chibadito. So hence, since manei, clothing, amechabduse, they accord a person respect, that's what we associate with the word in Yeshayo, v'chibadito. Me'asos drachecha, the next phrase in the pasuk, shelo yehi hiluchav shel Shabbos ki hiluchav shel chol. The way a person walks in Shabbos should be more leisurely than the way a person walks all week long. Mimtzo cheftzecha, which is the next phrase in the pasuk, again, v'chibadito, accord Shabbos respect by abstaining from mimtzo cheftzecha, chafotzecha asurim, your business concerns are off limits. Cheftze shemayim, though I'm mutarin, if they're concerns which relate to a mitzvah, so there one can discuss finances which relate to a yeshiva, to a shul, which relate to a mitzvah. And the final phrase, which the Gemara here is commenting on, that we're looking at, mimtzo cheftzecha v'dabe dava, again, that too is something we have to abstain from, shelo yehei diburcha shel Shabbos kediburcha shel chol, that the way a person speaks, or one's speech on Shabbos, shouldn't be the same as one's speech during the weekday. Now, what does this mean specifically? So that seems to be subject to a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos in the next two sources here. Shelo yehei dibocha shel Shabbos kedibocha shel chol. Rashi says kegon mekel chumemka v'cheshbonos. You can't talk about stocks and you can't talk about things like that on Shabbos. That's what it means. She dibocha shel Shabbos shouldn't be kedibocha shel chol. Again, what the subject matter of one's speech is on Shabbos. All week long, we in context of making our hishtadlus to earn a living, so we have occasion to talk about business, to talk about all kinds of financial calculations, but not on Shabbos. Tosfos in source 7 doesn't contest this prohibition. Shelo yehei dibocha shel Shabbos kedibocha shel chol pirush bekuntres kegon mekel chumemka ve'ein nira l'Rabbein Tam d'ho kva nafka mimtzo cheftzecha. Rabbein Tam doesn't contest that this is off limits, but says we already know that from the previous phrase in the pasuk of chafotzecha asurim, that involvement with your business concerns is off limit. So I already know based on that I shouldn't be talking about my stocks and my portfolio and the like. So what does V'dabe Adova add? Shelo yehei dibocha shel Shabbos kedibocha shel chol. What does that add? K'da'ama b'vayikra rabba. V'en Tam quotes our medrash. Rabbi Shimon v'ayilchoi hava le'ima safta. He had his mother was already quite elderly. D'havas mishtaya sagya. She was talking a lot. The implication here in the Medrash is that apparently due to age, she was perhaps a little bit forgetful and not aware that it was Shabbos. And she was talking a lot. So Amala, so he goes over to her, Shimon bar Yochai goes over to his mother and says to her very gently, Ima Shabbatahu. Says to her, Ima. Says to Nani, it's Shabbos. And what's her reaction? Shaska. Shimon bar Yochai says it's Shabbos, and she lapses into silence. She stops talking. Mashma, says Rabbeinu Tam. The inference from this medrash, she'ein kol kach ledabe b'Shabbos kamo b'chol. Shelo yehei dibocha b'Shabbos kamo dibocha shachol means that a person should talk less on Shabbos. It means how much the volume of speech on Shabbos shouldn't resemble the volume of speech during the week. It should be reduced. On Shabbos, a person doesn't talk as much. Ubi Yerushalmi Aminan, and the Yerushalmi reflects this idea as well. B'Torah Chitiru B'Sheila Shalom B'Shabbos. As it were, Chazal were pushing. They were pushing the envelope by even allowing us to exchange Good Shabbos, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? Nice to see you. The truth is that even that kind of social interaction should have been off limits on Shabbos because of this idea of Shlo Yehei Dibucha B'Shabbos Kemo Dibucha Shalchol. And this is, I think I neglected to put it on the Maror Mekomos, but this is reflected in Shulchan Aruch as well. The Mechaber refers to this in Shulchan Aruch, I think in the beginning of Simin Shin Zayin, that on Shabbos we're supposed to talk less than we do all week. So again, same question as that which we raised with regard to the first halacha that we encountered of Emes Shabbos. So what underlies this idea of Emes Shabbos? Similarly, what is it that underlies this idea that a person is supposed to talk less on Shabbos than he does all week long? I mean, stam to ramble on all week long is not such a great idea either. The implication is not that that all week long a person should just keep on rambling. No, there too, kol ha'mabed dvarim is ma'abed chayt. A person talks too much, then eventually something which is better off not being said is going to be said. And siyag la'chochma shtika, and all that's true all week long. But even assuming that a person is practicing the appropriate restraint all week long, even then on Shabbos, a person is more restrained simply again in how much he or she speaks on Shabbos. So what's this all about? Rav Pinkas Zichrono Livracha has a very beautiful sefer called Shabbos Malkusa, where the impetus for writing the sefer, he says, is that if you look around, he says, when a Yom Tov is approaching, so I guess we would say that there's a certain buzz. There's something in the air. There's a certain electricity in the air. If it's the Yomim Naroim that are approaching, so we're saying Slichus, and we're trying to prime ourselves for the Yomim Tovim. If it's one of the Shalosh Regalim, or even if it's those not speaking necessarily technically, one of the Durabonin Dika Yomim Tovim, Mechanukah and Purim, there's a buzz because there's an electricity, because there's a sense that there's a special time and a special opportunity which is coming our way, and we have to prepare ourselves to make the most of it. And he says that the greatest opportunity is one which goes, which flies underneath the radar. Shabbos, which comes every week, so that we don't sense that sense of anticipation and that sense of how am I going to make the most of these next 24 hours. So he wrote his sefer to try to counter that, I guess, neglect, and maybe this is too harsh, but apathy on our part towards Shabbos. So one of the things he quotes from earlier Sfarim is the following. The Torah emphasizes a few times, more than is necessary just to, but for purposes of identification, that Shabbos is the seventh day of the week. Okay, so once the Torah has to tell it to us, because otherwise we're not going to know when to observe Shabbos. But having said that once, the Torah doesn't need to harp on it and to repeatedly underscore the fact that Shabbos is the seventh day of the week. So clearly, there's a significance to the fact that Shabbos is the seventh day of the week. What's the significance? So he quotes in the Sfarim as follows. The pasuk of L'cha Hashem HaGdula V'HaGvura, we know, corresponds to those different midos, those different attributes which we glimpse in the way Hashem reveals Himself in the world. Hashem Himself doesn't have attributes, the Rambam tells us. Hashem is simple and is one. But we can speak about attributes in terms of how Hashem reveals Himself in the world. So the L'cha Hashem Hagdula V'Hagvura is listing, is enumerating those midos, again, those attributes, those qualities which we see in HaKadosh Baruch Hu as He appears in this world, as He acts, and as He reveals within this world. So L'cha Hashem Hagdula V'Hagvura V'Hatiferes V'Hanetzach V'Hahod Kichol Bashamayim Uva'aretz. So we're holding by six already. And then comes L'cha Hashem HaMamlocha. So the seventh of those midos which are enumerated in the pasuk of L'cha Hashem Hagdula is L'cha Hashem HaMamlocha. That seven is associated with Malchus. Hence, Pinkus talks that the reason the Torah underscores the fact that Shabbos is on Yom HaShvi'i is to tell us that the theme of Shabbos is Malchus Shamayim. The theme of Shabbos is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingship revealed in the world. Again, this is clearly something which we already know from the Gemaras. If you take a look on the second side in source number 8, the background to the Gemara here, the Gemara is talking about if two people collide, if either of the two bears responsibility for any damage, any financial loss which is ensuing. And in that context, the Gemara talks about that on Erev Shabbos, a person is allowed to be running through the Rishus HaRabim. He's allowed to be running down the street. So the Gemara says, if you take a look at the third line from the end of the source, my Rishus Ika, what's the occasion for running? What's the rush? Kid Rabbi Chanina. The Amar Rabbi Chanina, Bo'u v'netze likras kala malkasa. V'amrila likras shabbos kala malkasa. Either it's a question whether or not they're rushing home to make preparations, or whether they're actually rushing to go out to the field or wherever to greet Shabbos. But either way, the rush of Erev Shabbos is associated with the fact that there's a mitzvah to go greet, again, Shabbos referred to as Kala Malkasa. So again, this idea, again, this identification of Shabbos with Malchus is here clearly in Chazal. The Rambam has it as well in source number 9 with one slight variation which we're not going to comment on. The Rambam in source number 9 as follows. Ezeu kavod, zesha amul chachamim, Chazal say she mitzvah al odom lilchot ponav yoda v'raglav b'chamin be'erev Shabbos m'pnei kvod Shabbos. Okay, how does a person again accord respect for Shabbos? How does a person show that he's anticipating the arrival of Shabbos? So first of all, there's a mitzvah to bathe on erev Shabbos. U'misatev b'tzitzis, if it's a man, then he puts on his talis. V'yoshev b'kovid rosh, and a person sits with a solemnity, with a sense of purpose and focus, miyachel lahakbolas pnei Shabbos, yearning to receive Shabbos, kemoshe hu yotze lekras hamelech, as one going out to greet the king. Okay, so we have it. Shabbos is depicted as a queen. The Rambam has it as a king, but the sense of royalty is what they have in common. The Chachamim HaRishonim Hoyu Mekabtzin Talmidein Be'erev Shabbos. The Chachamim used to gather together their disciples in Erev Shabbos. U'misatfim, again, they put on their talesim. V'omim bo v'netze l'kras Shabbos HaMelech. Let's go out to greet the Shabbos King. So the idea, and for those who merit it, the experience of Shabbos is that Shabbos is a time, again, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus in this world is revealed in a way that during the Sheshes Yimei HaMaaseh it's not. And for those who are on a level to experience it, there's an experience again of Giloy Malchus Shamayim on Shabbos. We reaffirm our acceptance and belief in Malchus Shamayim because Shabbos observance attests to our belief of Chiddush HaOlam, of Briyas HaOlam, of creation. But it's more than that. A person who's on the Madrega to do so experiences, again, a revelation of Malchus Shamayim on Shabbos. Now, if you take a look in source number 10, the Gemara Darshins in Maseches Sanhedrin, in commenting on the Pasuk in Parsha Shoftim in Sefer Devarim, the mitzvah of what the Rambam paskins like the opinion, the mitzvah of appointing a king. So the Gemara says, "Som tosim alecha melech shetehei emaso alecha." That the defining association that you have with a melech is shetehei emaso alecha. That one's what's the attitude or what's the relationship that has to prevail between the sovereign and his subjects? Shetehei emaso alecha, that the subjects are supposed to have a sense of awe for the king. And based on that, we know, of course, that a melech shemocha al kvodos ein kvodo mochel, that a king is not allowed to waive the honor that's due to him. So this isn't just, again, a halacha of malchus, but it's the defining halacha of malchus. Som tosim alecha melech. What does it mean to appoint a melech? What does it mean to have a melech? Shetehei emaso alecha. Oh, so now we understand, right? The Baal HaTurim introduced us to there's a concept of emas Shabbos. Bereishis is yirei Shabbos. So what's this idea that a person has to have a sense of awe for Shabbos? Because the answer is, again, where there's malchus shamayim, so that has to engender within us this sense of awe. Som tosim alecha melech. Shetehei emaso alecha. Shabbos again is a day. L'cha Hashem hagdula v'agvura. L'cha Hashem hamamlocha. The Yom HaShvi is a day of Malchus Shamayim. So then that has to, again, what reaction does that elicit from us? A sense of awe. And even an Amoritz who'll cut corners and he won't tithe and then he'll cover up for that. When it comes to Shabbos, emas Shabbos. He's not going to say something which isn't entirely true on Shabbos. Similarly, the Ramah tells us, quoting the opening Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, where he's quoting from the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim. If you take a look, it's the final source here on the page. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi somet hu kol gadol v'torah v'maylos ha-tzadikim. This is a very central and fundamental principle in Torah. And in all the levels of Avodas Hashem, which are attained by tzaddikim, who constantly recognize that they're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samet placing HaKadosh Baruch Hu before oneself constantly, as David HaMelech says, being aware that one is in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why is this so central? Why is it such a klal gadol v'Torah? Says the Ramah, quoting the Rambam, ki ein yeshiva sa'odam utznu'osa v'asaka v'hu levado b'beiso. The way a person comports himself, whether it's the way a person sits, whether it's the way a person moves and gestures, whether it's the way a person goes about his affairs when he's alone at home, so then we have one standard of behavior. It, which doesn't begin to approach ki yeshivasa utznu osa va'asokav v'hu lifnei melech gadol. It doesn't begin to approach the standard by according to which a person will sit, move, gesture, go about his affairs in the presence of the great king. Now look at this next line. V'lo diburo v'harchovas piv kiritzono. And the way a person speaks, and what is harchavas piv, literally means how wide his mouth is. It means how freely a person speaks, how much a person speaks. V'huim anshei beso krovav, if a person finds himself with family members, with intimates, okay, so then he talks one way. But if he finds himself kedibura b'moshav ha-melech, so clearly the way, again, how much a person talks, the way a person talks when he finds himself b'moshav ha-melech reflects the awareness of that audience with the king. And then, of course, the Ramah, the Rambam, Kol Shekein, how much more so? Kshayasim Odim Alibo Shamelech Hagodol Kadosh Baruch Hu Hashem Elocha Laaretz Kevodo. How much more so if a person Yasim Alibo? Yasim Alibo is a code word we find the Rishonim using in different contexts for if a person internalizes, not only knows, but a person internalizes so that he feels Shamelech Hagodol Kadosh Baruch Hu Hashem Elocha Laaretz Kevodo. Whose glory permeates the entire universe. Omed Allah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kaviyachol, as it were, standing over a person, v'roa b'maisav, and observing everything the person does. Kemosha ne'amar, as the Navi Yirmiyah says in a rhetorical question, coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, im yisaser ish b'mistarim v'alino v'anilo erenu nur Hashem. Is it possible that a person will hide in some secret hiding place that I should not be able to see him, Hashem says? Miyad yagir elav hayira v'hachna b'pachar Hashem yisbaruch hu boshtu mimenu tamid. So when a person maintains that awareness, that feeling of being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then immediately, miyad, he's totally transformed by that awareness, and again he feels the sense of yira, of awe, of submissiveness before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But again, the point that we want to highlight here is that diburo v'harchavas piv, how much a person talks, is going to be affected by his awareness of being b'moshav ha-melech. Come back to the second din that we saw. Again, Rabbeinu Tam's din, based on the Medrash in Vayikra Rabba, based on the Yerushalmi, that we're supposed to limit the amount we talk on Shabbos. So what's that all about? So the answer is, it flows from the same source as the din of Emes Shabbos. Again, this awareness that on Shabbos, in an intensified way, in a way that's more true than it is all week long, we find ourselves in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence can be more directly felt and glimpsed in the world on Shabbos than all week long. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is more revealed on Shabbos than it is all week long, so then Memela, that generates this sense of awe that... Again, and when a person finds himself b'moshav ha-melech, in the presence of the melech, in to a degree, in a sense that he isn't all week long, that has to translate into that dibur v'hachavas piv is not going to be the same on Shabbos the way it is all week long. Coming back to the original question that we had posed, what is it about Shabbos which makes it, again, stand out from the other 612 mitzvahs as a matana tova? So perhaps in light of what we've been discussing, one understanding would be as follows. There is a very famous comment from the Chedush Harim, which his grandson, the Sfas Emes, quotes repeatedly and says the word in Lashon HaKodesh for world, olam, he says, is derived from the root of laha'alim, which means to hide. And the reason for that is, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is hidden in this world. We look at this world, so things seem to function naturally, seamlessly, and we don't necessarily, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the show so seamlessly that he's able to stay behind the scenes entirely. You never have to really, if you're not looking for it, you don't have to see a hand protruding from behind stage, giving stage directions. It's done so neatly and so beautifully and so seamlessly. So olam is, the world is a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ne'alam, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is hidden. La'osad lavo, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence will be revealed. Vayom ha'uyeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. Name is how a person is known to other people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name will be one, meaning his presence will be revealed. It will no longer be hidden. So really, Shabbos, all of the mitzvahs belong to Olam Hazeh. They belong to Olam Hazeh. They govern our, again, bodily, physical existence in this world. Eat this, don't eat this. This is Tomei, this is Tahor. They govern mundane existence. Shabbos doesn't really belong to Olam Hazeh. Shabbos, again, that's why the Gemara in Brachos tells us that Shabbos is a me'ein of Olam Haba. Shabbos doesn't really belong to this world. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, go tell Klal Yisrael, I have a Matana Tova. I have a Matana Tova that on Shabbos I'm going to reveal myself in a way that really, really is only associated with L'Asad Lavo. It doesn't belong to this world. It's something which really we're not deserving of yet. It's really something which should have been held entirely in abeyance for the Yom Shekulo Shabbos and Menucha, but you should recognize, no, I'm going to share this Matana Tova with you now. Matana Tova, Yeshli B'Veis Gnozai, Shabbos Shema.
Thank everyone for joining us this evening. We're going to conclude now with Ma'ariv here inside. There are refreshments outside. Those who are not davening can partake already outside. And we'll have the minyan here, followed by the rest of the refreshments. Thank you everyone for coming this evening.